chapter 2. We do want to remember Brother Grigsby in prayer. Most of you have heard by now that Brother Grigsby had a problem at the conference. His heart actually stopped beating. He actually stopped breathing, was given CPR during the services. Not real sure what the problem was yet, but do pray for him. Talk to him the other day, and he's doing better, but just continue to pray for Brother Grigsby. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 12, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. We see that the life of a child of God is a life of forgiveness. We saw last week that forgiveness includes atonement. You cannot have forgiveness. There is no such thing as forgiveness outside of atonement. And of course, Christ has provided the atonement, and therefore we have forgiveness in Jesus Christ. So what is forgiveness? Well, forgiveness is a setting free. Before we are forgiven, we are bound by sin. Forgiveness sets us free, not only from sin itself, but forgiveness sets us free from the power of sin, sets us free from the debt of sin. It's simply a setting free. We see in Romans chapter 6 and verse 18 that there is a power of sin, or the dominion of sin. And when we are saved, we are forgiven, of course, and then we are set free from the power or the dominion of sin. It's not that we do not sin anymore. It's just that sin is no longer our master, that we're no longer under the sway. We're no longer under the dominion of sin. We read in Romans 6 and verse 23 of the wages of sin. Sin has wages. And we see to be forgiven means that you're set free from the wages of sin. The wages of sin, of course, is condemnation. John 3, verses 16 through 18, we're set free from the condemnation. That everyone is born into this life under the condemnation of God. But the forgiveness sets us free from the condemnation of sin, sets us free from the power of sin, sets us free from the wages of sin. It sets us free from the punishment of sin, the eternal punishment of sin. Notice in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10. Okay, it's not the verse that one, but it sets us free from the wrath of God, sets us free from the punishment of sin. So forgiveness is a pardon. It's God pardoning us, and that's why we read in the Old Testament in several places that there is pardon with God. So forgiveness sets us free. Forgiveness also is a remission. It is not only a setting free from sin, and it is also a remission from sin. And the word remission simply means a cancellation. It is a cancellation, a setting aside, a revocation. So when we're forgiven, something is canceled. Something has been canceled. Something has been set aside. And if we turn over to Psalm 32, Psalm 32, and we'll read verse 2, Psalm 32 and verse 2. We get the idea of this cancellation. Blessed is the man in whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. That is, he doesn't put it to our account. It's no longer in our account. It's been canceled. It's been revoked. It's been set aside. We see this is taught by the phrase blot out. We see in several places when forgiveness is talked about, it's it says that our sins are blotted out. That means they're canceled. That the wrath of it is canceled. The condemnation of it is canceled. The power of it's canceled. It's no longer on our account. It's blotted out. And that's what it means to be forgiven. Notice in Psalm 51, here we have David's prayer of repentance. And there's much to be learned in this prayer. But in verse 1, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. That is, cancel it. Cancel my transgressions. Verse 9. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43. And verse 25, Isaiah 43, verse 25, I am he that blotteth out thine transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. So forgiveness is a blotting out of sin. Isaiah 44 and verse 22, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. And then notice in Colossians chapter 2 in verse 14, Colossians 2, verse 14. Let's read verse 13. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened, made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, blotting out everything that was against us, blotting out everything that would be laid, that would be charged against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, which is just another way of describing the blotting out, took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. So we see that forgiveness of sin means that our sins have been blotted out. They are blotted out in such a way as to remove them, not just crossed out, but removed. Notice in Psalm 103 and verse 12. Psalm 103 verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west, he has removed. So blotting out involves a removal of sin. Only God can blot out sin. Only God can remove sin. And again, it's removed as far as the east is from the west. It's removed so much so that he will not remember it. And we read that over in Isaiah 43 and verse 25. He blots out our sins. He remembers it no more. We're told that again in Hebrews 8 and verse 12, that he does not bring those sins to our charge, that he forgets them, that he no longer remembers them. So he blots them out, he removes our sins, and he goes even further than that. He casts it away. He casts our sins away. Notice in Isaiah 38, Isaiah 38, and verse 17. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. Thou hast cast, which again is just another way of describing him blotting out our sins. Then notice in Micah chapter 7, Micah chapter 7, verse 19, Micah 7, Verse 19. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. And thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. It has the idea of once God removes sin, that those sins are forever removed. As far as the east is from the west, I'll cast them behind my back. I will cast them into the deepest parts of the sea. In other words, never to be remembered again. Every child of God is forgiven. All their sins have been blotted out. All their sins have been canceled. They're no longer late to their charge. That should show forth in the life that we live. So forgiveness is a setting us free. Forgiveness is a remission or a cancellation of our sins. But it also is a lifting up and taking away. It's lifting our sins up off of ourselves. Notice in, again in Psalm 32. Psalm 32 and verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. The word forgiven there means taken off from him or lifted from him, whose sin is covered. The implication here is that sin is a weight. Sin is something that weighs us down. It's a heavy, heavy burden upon the sinner. And when God forgives the sinner, he removes that weight. He lifts that weight off the sinner. That's why when someone is saved, they will tell you they feel like the weight of the world has been taken off of them. Well, it's more than the weight of the world. It's the weight of your sin that has been taken off of you. And that's something that you cannot help but feel. When God removes the weight of sin, you feel that. And you know that sin is no longer there. So it implies that sin is a weight. It implies that sin is a burden. It's what Jesus refers to in Matthew 11, verse 28, when he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Those, when an individual is about to be saved, they are laboring under the weight of sin. The Spirit of God is convicting them of sin, and they begin to feel the weight of their sin. And the only way to escape that weight of sin is to come unto Jesus Christ, and he gives them rest. He removes that weight from them. So the forgiven one has the weight of innumerable sins lifted from off of him. But not only that, forgiveness is a covering. We see here in Psalm 32 and verse 2, whose sin is covered. Whose sin is covered. That is, God not only removes our sin, he cancels it, he lifts it off from us, he covers it. He covers it. God is omniscient. God is omnipresent. He sees everything. But we see that God covers our sin. This implies that sin is something that is loathsome and needs to be covered. Needs to be covered out of the sight of God. And we see here in Psalm 32 and verse 1, blessed is he whose sin is covered. That is, whose sin is hidden out of sight so they cannot be discovered. Notice in Psalm 85... Psalm 85 in verse 2. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin. Thou hast covered all their sin. Their sin is covered from the sight of God. So the forgiven one, his or her sins have been covered. We see also forgiveness is a healing. To be forgiven is to be healed. We see on several occasions Jesus asked individuals, "Wilt thou be made whole?" That's what forgiveness is. It's a being made whole.
It's a healing, which implies, of course, that sin is a wound. Sin is something that causes pain. Sin is something that causes grief. And sin is referred to as a wound in Psalm 38 and verse 5. In 2 Kings, or in 1 Kings chapter 8, it's referred to as the plague of the heart. Sin is a disease. It's referred to as a canker. Sin is a terrible, terrible disease. And the sinner, of course, needs to be healed of the disease of sin, and it's forgiveness that brings this wholeness. It's forgiveness that brings this healing. In Psalm 103, in verse 3, we read, "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases." And again, that's referring to sin as a disease. So the forgiven one has been made better. The forgiven one has been mended. The forgiven one has been restored. Now, this forgiven individual who's had his sins blotted out, who's had his sins lifted off from him, whose sins have been recovered, who has now been made better, he's been mended, he's been restored, don't you think that this is going to make a difference in this individual's life? This individual is not going to live like everyone else. He's been made different. His sins have been forgiven. And you and I that have had our sins forgiven, it ought to show forth in our life. We see also that sin, forgiveness is a cleansing, which implies, of course, that sin is an uncleanness. But forgiveness is a cleansing us. Sin is filth. Forgiveness cleanses us from the filth of sin. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, if we turn there, 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. "Having therefore these promises," going back to verse 17 and 18, "dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit." There's twofold cleansing there. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh, that's outward sins, and of the spirit, that's inward sins. When God forgives, He cleanses. God begins inwardly, works outwardly. You and I usually reverse that. We usually begin outwardly and maybe go inward, but usually we don't. But God begins inwardly and then goes outwardly. The inward is more important. You take care of the inward and the outward will pretty much take care of itself. You take care of the outward by taking care of the inward. But the point is that we are to be cleansed inside and outside. The Pharisees, they made clean the outside of the cup. They cleaned up the outward acts to put on a show. We're all guilty of that. Who just washes the outside of a cup? Hopefully no one. You wash the inside. The inside's more important. And so we see forgiveness is a cleansing from the filth of sin. In fact, the filth of sin makes cleansing a requirement. We see the forgiven is referred to as those that are washed. Notice in Revelation chapter 1 in verse 5. "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." Washed us. That's forgiveness. We've been washed. We've been washed in his own blood. So forgiveness is an act of God. God is a God of forgiveness. Forgiveness is not due to any merit in man. You cannot go to God and plead for forgiveness based upon personal merit, because you have none. We have no merit to plead. We never have any merit to plead. That's why over and over in the Psalms, you see the psalmist always pleading for God's mercy. That's how we come to God, pleading His mercy, that God would spare us what we deserve. So forgiveness is an act of God. Being an act of God, it is an act of God's grace. Notice in Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians 1 verse 7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. So the forgiven one is an object of the grace of God. The forgiven one is an object of the mercy of God. The forgiven one is a recipient of God's compassion. It is of the compassion of God that He forgives sinners. Notice in Psalm 78, Psalm 78 and verse 38. Psalm 78, verse 38. But being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity. It is by God's grace that we are forgiven. It is by God's mercy that we are forgiven. It is by God's compassion that we are forgiven. Forgiveness also is a result of the long-suffering and forbearance of God. It is due to the patience of God. Exodus 34, verses 6 and 7. Numbers 14, verse 18. But then notice in Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance? So we have His goodness, we have His forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. The only way a sinner can be forgiven is they must repent. But it is the goodness of God that leads you to repentance. You have to repent to be forgiven, but you cannot take any credit for the repentance. It's simply the goodness of God that leads you to repent. So God leads us to do something, and then He blesses us for doing it. That's grace. That is the grace of God. So the forgiven one is a recipient of the grace of God, a recipient of the mercy of God, a recipient of the compassion of God, a recipient of the long-suffering of God, and the forbearance of God. They are the recipients of the goodness of God. And it's certainly all of this ought to make a difference in our life. It ought to make a difference in the way that we live. It ought to make a difference in the way that we think. It ought to make a difference in the way that we view sin. It ought to make a difference because we have been forgiven. And that's something to think about every day when you get up is, I've been forgiven. I'm forgiven. And again, if God has forgiven us, then sometimes people have to learn to forgive themselves as well. But God has. If you're saved, God is forgiven. God has forgiven your sins. He has blotted them out. What a blessing. What a wonderful assurance to have. Let's again look to the Lord.